Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonner on Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, along with happytrees.co. So we will get to the trial. We'll get to this. You got to see how some anti-capitalist climate crazies were handled in Nevada. Chuck's obsessed with the blind side controversy.
No, I'm not obsessed. Just interested in.
Purely interest. All right. But all of that coming up. But wanted to start out today with, we've had him on the show before, and he's great. Retired Colonel John Mills, author of the book, The Nation Will Follow. National security professional, and had I read sort of an interesting theory, Colonel. First off, thank you for your time and welcome to the show. But wanted to get your theory on a possible theory and all of these fires. So first, let me ask you. So I take it you're not buying that it's all caused by climate change, the fires in Maui and Canada and everywhere, right?
Processing plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Thank you, Chuck and Julie. Well, if it's climate things, why are they suing the local utility? Because they just said it was climate things, but now they're suing the local utility. But I think that there is a reasonable concern that the Doki one, a Chinese, it's listed as essentially a weather research satellite. You know, never trust these titles in the world of cloak and dagger. Who knows what this satellite is? But and there appears to be some agreement. I haven't actually found a contractual document or the memorandum of understanding between NASA and the Chinese Space Agency, but to study pollution in the atmosphere in the Hawaiian region. And this is the same Chinese satellite that was seen earlier this year with what appeared to be lasers. That Chinese satellite is listed as having a LIDAR. So that's a laser image and distance and ranging laser. This is a 6,000-pound vehicle at a minimum. You can hide a lot in 6,000 pounds. So I think after our experience with the Wuhan lab and 2 years of attempted to weaponize anybody discussing the Wuhan lab and gain of function and possible leak, I think it's pretty reasonable to ask reasoned questions about what in the world was this Chinese satellite doing. And hey, you only need a 2-kilowatt laser to raise the temperature now to above 500 degrees. Wood and brush will start to combust at 500. Anything north of 500, it's almost instantaneous. So you can fit today's lasers. You can fit a lot in in a small package. And this again, this just the unclassified number is 6,000 pounds for the launch of the Doki One. That's a lot to play with.
So you're raising the theory that it's possible that this Chinese satellite, theoretically a weather monitoring satellite, and like you said, what the heck does that mean, could be using lasers to start some of these forest fires that we've been, so the wildfires we've been seeing?
Well, it's totally within the realm of the possibility of the technically feasible.
Right.
And, we already can't trust our intelligence community
right.
for a number of reasons, but they blew off any attempt at asserting a lab leak out of Wuhan, which we now know that even the intelligence
True.
Community has essentially come around and said, yeah, it probably was a lab leak. But then, we spent 2 years, tearing apart the country, weaponizing anybody to question and making sure they had their right person in the White House. So I think these are not crazy questions. These are not wild-eyed conspiracy theories. These are absolutely within the realm of the possible. And so, yeah, I did. I've done some writings on this and put this out. Today's laser, you can put a lot. It's all about still about cooling and power, even for space-based space-based. You don't want to melt the rest of the satellite, you can put a lot. Just again, we had 6,000 pounds to play with. So that's the low end of what the Long March 4 could launch.
Well, I can imagine the Hawaiian officials saying, "Hey, we want to seize the land in Maui," and they say, "Hey, we've got this Chinese satellite. You want to put a request in?" They start up, "Sure, it's cooperation.
That's not even funny.
Cooperation. This is great."
Well, and Colonel,
we got these simultaneous fires all across Washington State, British Columbia, Eastern Canada, even in Greece. Boy, they just start lasing, and with a laser weapon, wow, this
right.
can cause mayhem on scale.
Well, and just to kind of go back and break it down a little bit, you know, you're a national security expert, and I imagine, if you have a weaponized satellite, you don't call it Chinese weaponized satellite, right? You call it Chinese weather observation satellite, right? Which, And from what you've
just had a more ominous name, you'd think it was probably more unlikely. The more ominous the name, as the colonel said, the kinder the name, the more nefarious the purpose.
Would we be able?
Yeah, our U-2 was originally called a weather research aircraft. You know, we were calling it, when the Russians were trying to shoot it down, and even after they shot the first U-2 down, we called it. You know, that was our cover story. It's called a cover story. You always come up with a cover story. And these are reasonable questions to ask.
How hard would that be? I mean, to just take a laser, I mean, it wouldn't probably even take very long, right? I mean, would it be just a matter of going, zit? I mean, that's a layperson's interpretation of it. But would that be sort of how easy it could be for them to target, given the weather conditions, right? The hurricane force winds, they could figure out where to do it. I mean, or how complicated would that be?
Well, again, from an engineer's perspective, you got 6,000 pounds to play with. I mean, that's a heavy truck. That is a lot. So you can put a lot in there. You know, the satellites that we're ground based that are we're putting on small vehicles to zap drones.
Yeah.
Now you only need that, but these are 2 kilowatt lasers we're using to zap drones, and you only need to get those up to about the 200 to 300 degrees before you start to melt the plastic and the metals. Disrupt the electronics. In the drones, here you just got it. You got a very dry underbrush, very dry vegetation. Yeah, probably 500 degrees is normally the combustion point for wood. It's lower when you've got dried, dried, not really grass, dried grass, dried
the underbrush and all.
So. Yeah. So you don't even need to get up to 500 degrees. So totally within the technical realm of the possible. And
would
these
we
are
be
reasonable
able,
questions.
I think so too. Would we be able to detect that? If we were looking at the right time, or is that the kind of thing that could be done that would be pretty much undetectable by any kind of whatever defense monitoring that we would have?
Some of that would start to get into classified capabilities that are in place and operational right now for the Department of Defense. I don't know. I'm not read onto those anymore or anything like that. But it would. I do not. And I'm not even assigning nefarious intent to the Department of Defense. But we just learned from the balloon episode.
Right.
We presumed we have perfect radar coverage. Absolutely not. We have radars, right? No, we don't. We'd go broke making the number of radars to provide perfect radar coverage. So you always have gaps and seams, and same here. We can't presume the Department of Defense, the intelligence community, NASA, have the situational awareness to be able to detect any kind of laser shot from space automatically with immediacy and accuracy.
Right.
You know, so again, from the balloon, everybody says, oh, we got radar. No, we don't. No, we don't. We're both making the radars have perfect radar coverage.
And like they would tell us the truth about it anyway, right? As you said, you know, go back to, if you had said 5 years ago, okay, so the Chinese with government money, U.S. government money, are manufacturing a virus that could wipe out humanity. It escaped and they all lied to us and locked it down and they, you know, canceled people for suggesting it. And then it turns out it was true. I mean, who would have thought, right? So like you said, at this day and age, to toss out any kind of question is it's reasonable. Like you said, all kinds of questions need to be asked.
Yeah. I mean, we have now we're dealing with a weaponized government that is doing whatever it can do to keep Donald J. Trump out of office, including the most incredible election interference ever seen through lawfare to try and keep Donald J. Trump off of the ballot. Schedule his trials right in the middle of the primaries. I mean, if this is not election interference, I don't know what is. But
what's amazing about it is that you have not only do Democrats not care, in fact, are quite, you know, Jamie Raskin came on saying he can't go on the ballot because he's a J6 insurrectionist, but the Republicans don't seem to care. Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney, just go down the whole list. Oh, well, our democracy's over. Big deal. You know, we'll still get our paychecks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't ever listen to anything Jamie Raskin has to say. I mean, between his tokes on whatever he's smoking today. And so I wouldn't trust anything that Jamie Raskin has to say.
I agree.
I mean, communism runs in his family. And and then the deep state is the new news, and Mitt Romney, they don't care. They're all about the donations from the RNC. They don't care, and so they couldn't care less about America. They couldn't care less about the American people. They're going to stand aside and not do the right thing. They're just going to let Donald Trump is taking some punches, and they're just standing aside doing nothing because they couldn't care because it's. Asa Hutchinson, absolute gadfly Asa Hutchinson thinks it's his turn. Yeah, I don't know what planet he's on. He's probably smoking something with Jamie Raskin.
Well, he in the debate said that, Trump can't run. He's forbidden to run because he's an insurrectionist. I mean, he supported that theory. I mean, it's just.
So you can't trust him. I couldn't care less what he has to say, and couldn't care less what Jamie Raskin, who does nothing but scream and shout, and I've had to be in meetings with him and just listen to him go deranged and looking like he's just came out from behind the boys' rap ass from smoking something. I mean, the guy's a total Looney Tune, and so I couldn't care less what he has to say. He doesn't care about America.
No.
Let me switch gears a little bit and just a little bit though, and ask you, so, you know, as a national security professional, one of the things that worries me is you hear all of these calls now for Joe Biden to declare a climate crisis. Well, and we all know what happened when they declared the COVID crisis. I mean, they went from locking us down to putting people, you know, to canceling people, to calling people terrorists. I mean, do you think it's within another reasonable question to ask is, are they going to weaponize this whole fraudulent hoax concept of climate crisis? Do you see something like that happening as we head into 2024 election season?
Well, that's what they love to do. They just the power they had, they just loved it. They just loved the absolute. They've never seen such power before. So they're going to do whatever they can do to come up with an excuse for another national emergency. And, you know, it's that under the Emergencies Act, I haven't looked at the Emergencies Act website. I mean, people don't realize we constantly have emerging. The president has the authority to declare within certain scope of the emergencies laws, declare emergencies, and then people would be shocked how many emergencies are actually ongoing right now. it's a reason, but like, this is a challenge. A lot of these things, what could possibly go wrong? Let's give the right to declare these emergencies. And oh man, they went in hook, line, and sinker. They loved these deep staters are all totalitarians at heart, and they just love way to enforce their will upon these pathetic citizens.
And you know, when going back to Hawaii, you got to admit, I mean, I've reported for years and covered fires here all the time. And really, fires are not all that tricky when you get right down to it, right? I mean, it's tricky when they want to hide what caused them. They're fairly straightforward and tragic, but it does seem to me something funky, about the fires in Hawaii. Now, maybe it's just because they handled it so badly. They just want to try to cover that up. But I think, you know, some of our people in our chat section were pointing out that in some of the pictures, for instance, you would see vehicles that look melted. But there's the grass around them wasn't burned. I mean, you know, is that your sense too, though, that there's something going on here? They won't even tell us how many people died, for Pete's sakes, right?
Totalitarianism in Hawaii. It's horrible. The blue team is just absolutely taken over in Hawaii. They've learned how to actually cook the books on the election. They're getting away with it. The reality is Hawaii is the three states losing population the fastest are New York, California, and Hawaii. And we have a lot of Hawaiian relatives for the native Hawaiian population. It's like Puerto Rico. They're leaving. They're leaving through Hawaii because it's just an absolutely corrupt government, and the only answer seems to be leave and just go to red territory, because that's what's going on in Hawaii. And it's the PG&E playbook out of California. PG&E, that used to be the premier utility, that was the model utility for the economic wonder called California. As they started collapsing, you know, PG&E became the whipping boy. They saw the cast on the book. In the portfolio of PG&E, and they just started blaming PG&E for everything and suing them. And PG&E is stupid compliance. Is okay, yeah, you guys, listen, you know, we'll just take the cast off the books. I mean, this is an absolute RICO fraud. Yeah. And it's the same playbook. What is the first thing they do? They almost had a lawsuit immediate. They hadn't even, fires were still raging, people were dying. They already had the lawsuit ready to go against the local utility in Maui.
Right.
So, come on. Are you kidding me? This is, we can't trust. We don't have proof. We have over 100 dead. You know, we still have, you know, several hundred, maybe 800 to 1,000 missing, many of them children. Absolute. I mean, this is murder.
It is when you look at it. Exactly.
Well, they blocked off the roads so you couldn't escape. A couple of people, or after my own heart, just drove around the blockades, but everybody else, good citizens, just fried, burned alive.
Yeah, and there has to be, I mean, it's bad. We're not getting the full story, and I'm getting snippets from family members and the Hawaiian community on the ground. This is totalitarianism and thugism, and we need to hold officials in NAS accountable for this murder and slaughter of American citizens.
Then let's go back to COVID too, right? I mean, let's go no further than that. Well, let me give you a chance to talk about, because I think your book is excellent, The Nation Will Follow. And I know we had you on the show and talked about it before, but why don't you give folks just, you know, sort of a brief
recap
of what it's about and how they can find it and get it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So The Nation Will Follow is my time in government, realizing I had colleagues spying on candidate Trump and then president, and then running a full scale coup against president elect and president Trump, me turning them into the Durham investigation, me fighting with them and turning them into the Durham investigation, the action plan for the citizen in their county. If you don't like the deep state at the national level, you got to remember it lives upon dirty counties and dirty states, and you're in Colorado, and you're struggling and fighting for your lives out there.
Yeah.
Because the blue team members have moved in and they figured out how to cook the books on elections, and you know, whether it's just total fraudulent arrest charges against registrars. That sounds familiar out in,
Tina Peters, yep.
Peters, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's that. We're sold out on of the book, but there's signed copies available on my store. So go to my store, The Nation Will Follow, and you'll get signed copies there. You also can get the audio version and unsigned copies on Amazon. Book two is coming out here, should be out in October, and that's War Against the Deep State, War Against the Deep State, and this is the foundations of mass surveillance, the unlawful fourth, fifth, and sixth branches of government, and again, further details on the action plan, how do we dissolve these unlawful branches of government, again, much of the fight is local because the fraud at the federal level is all about and standing on the shoulders of dirty counties and dirty states.
Well, when the book comes out, we'll have to have you back on.
That's right. And I mean, to your point, look what's going on in Georgia, right? And going on in Manhattan, we had recently Jenna Griswold, our corrupt Secretary of State, said she hadn't decided yet whether she was going to try to keep Trump off the ballot. So you're absolutely right. It starts locally. And that's great that you're sold out and you've already got another one coming out. Holy cow.
Yeah, you could get signed copies of book one of The Nation Will Follow at Lindell My Store, and then use code B66, code B66, get a discount. And then also you get audio versions and unsigned versions on Amazon, and then book two is coming out here. You can pre-order now at The Nation Will Follow. So you can pre-order book two, War Against the Deep State, at thenationwillfollow.com at the website.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks so much for coming on again. We appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again in October or so.
You got it. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, sir. Colonel John Mills, I thank you very much. Well, you know, The Nation will go to The Nation Will Follow or Mike Lindell's My Store, and you can get all the information there. You know, because I saw the article, and again, there was a time, from Jacob, good guest, or Leo, too, good guest. You know, when you would have said, no, a Chinese satellite shooting lasers and starting fires, that they would never do that. But of course they would do that, right? Joe Biden is so corrupt and so beholden. I mean, they could probably send him a letter and say, dear Joe, we're thinking of using our Chinese weather satellite to launch an attack on Lahaina. Okay with you? You know, and then send a picture of Hunter, you know, and Joe and their bank accounts. And Joe would be like, yeah, no problem here. And again, who would have thought, oh yeah, we're manufacturing a virus. We're going to accidentally release
it. We're going to put a lab that has no real safety protocols.
Right.
We're paying for it. It's part of a Chinese weapons program.
Right.
Weapons for who, you know, not for us.
Right.
Your
main health guy, by the way, is making millions of dollars from pharmaceutical companies who will now manufacture a vaccine that not only doesn't work, but makes you sicker than you would have ever been, even up to death. I mean, it's just insane. And, you know, and we won't go into, we have to save that for another show about, are they going to try to put this again on us? But wanted to talk about, and thank you, you've had great comments there, guys. And, you know, so keep the comments coming. Now, if you want to unmute yourself, that sounds so weird. If you want to comment, you can just click unmute or call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Wanted to talk about the corrupt judge handling the January 6th case in Washington, D.C., set the trial date for March 4th. 2024, which just coincidentally happens to be the day before Super Tuesday. I've got a quick soundbite. She did this just today. If we could please, Thomas, play the trial video clip.
Fox News alert. We've just learned that the federal district judge, Tanya Chutkan, here in Washington, D.C., has set a new trial date for former President Trump's trial here in Washington. That will be March 4th, 2024. That's the federal election case. We will get more details from David Spunt throughout the course of the day, but one would expect that the former president's legal team would not be happy about it, and certainly not his political team, because March 4th is the date of the North Dakota caucus. There are a whole slew of primary states up for grabs on March 5th, from Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, and more. And then a whole slew of other contests on March 12th. And so one would think that the president and his political team and his legal team may not be happy about a trial date here in Washington, March 4th, 2024. That is the breaking news.
I mean, I've been in, and Chuck, you're a lawyer too, so I'll get you to weigh in, obviously, but I've been in hundreds and hundreds of courtrooms where they set trial dates. And there is always discussion about the trial dates. And in some of the courtrooms, they just have the calendars up on the wall, right? And you can see what days the judges are on vacation or whatever, those are blocked out. And there's always discussion about the trial date. And so, you know, and they have to see, well, are you available, Mr. Prosecutor? Are you available, Mr. or Ms. Defense Attorney? And they check their calendars. And I just find it, I mean, it's absolutely intentional election interference that this judge would look at all of the dates that they could hold a trial, right? And say, March 4th, going to go with March 4th. Right? I mean, it's just it is not true. It is total election interference. She set that trial date solely to interfere with Donald Trump. Number one, to make him look bad. Number two, to interfere with his ability. And he's going to appeal. But I mean, what do you think? Let me back up. She said, oh, well, you know, hey, we're just treating him like we treat everybody else. Yeah, there right. Again, I've been in many cases where, you know, if the attorney, literally, if the defense attorney says, you know, look, I've had a long planned vacation there. They go, okay, right? And if the defendant, you know, has something going on, if that's, you know, significant, usually they work around it, right?
Well, the problem he has is that, one, normally setting a trial date is not appealable.
Right.
If it is, it would go up to the D.C. Circuit, which is overwhelmingly Obama judges. I mean, it's that's why they do everything in Washington, because now they've rigged that system so beautifully. So unless it went up to the Supreme Court, which it doesn't tend to be for a trial setting, it's just another screw job in a justice system that no one can trust anymore. I mean, you know, trial in U.S. Federal District Court, you always say, well, this will be on the up and up. No.
No. Well, and again, having covered hundreds and hundreds of trials, and so normally with an indictment or the charging that occurs, you can almost, it's almost always roughly a year before it actually goes to trial. Now, they can sometimes go faster if the defendant's in jail and they want to have a speedy trial, right? But I mean, to say this is an indictment occurred just a few weeks ago and they're setting a trial in March 4th. I mean, again, and Trump's attorneys are like, that's not giving us enough time. The judge is like, too bad. That's all the time you have. It's just, and here's what I think. I think that that's the kind of thing that at some later date probably could go up the ladder and find that, you know, the judge shouldn't have done that, right? That she didn't give him time. But they don't care about that. All they care about is interfering with the actual the election, right? She could care less if 2 years from now she's reversed on appeal, right? They just want to interfere with the election.
You're never going to get a reversal based on the trial date unless it's something extraordinarily awful, like way too early or violates the statute. I mean, she knows she can't be overruled on time. And if the trial goes ahead, they go, no harm, no foul. I mean, it's just a whole corrupt system. The American democracy is dying before your eyes. They're all saying it's great. And who knows?
Right. Well, and wouldn't you say, though, too, as a lawyer, that I'm right, that they do take into account, if you were to say, oh, I have a presidential election coming up, you know, could we maybe do it a different time? I mean, they take that, when they're being honest, they do take that into account. So for her to say, oh, we never take that account. I mean, in your experience as an attorney, is that not, I mean, am I correct in the way I, you know, remember things?
Well, I've seen judges do everything. You know, I've seen ones, and we had a case just recently where one of the main trial attorneys on our side said, you know, I can't do it that day. And the judge said, I don't care. Go get another attorney. Yes, you know, her saying this is normal. It's normal for a crooked judge. Sure, Sure.
Okay. Well, and here's some of the rest of the schedule. So on the 25th of March, okay. That's when the Manhattan DA Bragg has set the trial date for the falsifying records, right?
Oh,
the classified classified documents case is set for trial on April 20th. So they're doing everything they can. It's lawfare. It's lawfare taken to an extreme bizarre thing. Mark Meadows, by the way, was in court today arguing he's one of the January or the election case defendants, right? In Georgia, arguing that they should move his case to a federal court. And apparently, which is unusual, right? You usually don't want your client talking in some of these, you know, pre-trial motions hearings. But he was saying in the testimony today that all he was doing was within his official capacity. I think that's part of the argument. If it was his official capacity, then there's an argument that it needs to be moved to the federal court system, right? So I don't know how.
Well,
but do we think they're going to...
Lana Hirachi was the sniper in the Idaho federal killing of Randy Weaver's wife and child. And the local prosecutor wanted to go ahead in local court. And a federal judge said, no, I'll move it to my court. And they delayed long enough so that there was no trial at all. Normally that would be a good, if it's all within your official capacity, it should be able to move over to federal court.
And this is from Jim, which Jim, in the end, might be the best advice. We should embrace the date and turn out nationwide to overwhelmingly nominate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
From Sandra, all political judiciary, including judges and lawyers, need to have their licenses pulled and they need to be put on trial. Where the hell are the good guys? Well, yeah, you know, speaking of that, there is some good news. They won't do anything, but at least it's better than nothing. Who is the guy from Clyde, Representative Clyde in Congress, and he's on the Appropriations Committee, was introducing some amendments to the appropriations bill that would say that no federal funds could be used to prosecute a candidate in an upcoming presidential election. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz are also introducing legislation to defund Jack Smith's. And you know, we talked this morning, you and I, about it, and you made a good point, but at least they're trying, right? I mean, at least they're trying.
Yeah, it's worthless. I mean, it's hopeless because it'll never get through the Senate or the president would veto it. But at least they're trying. At least they're bringing actions to at least show that somebody, there's nobody in the Senate who's bringing anything. So
no. Well, and once again, I, you know, like many others that you included, renew my call for wake up, you Republican prosecutors out there. This is what you get when you get George Soros funded district attorneys, right? You get rampant crime, rampant shoplifting. You hear all of these stores are like closing now because what I was reading, somebody, they were making money, but they said, but their sales were up. Right. But their profits were down because they had so much shoplifting. Right. Because it's not a crime anymore anywhere. Right. So you get that. And then you also get the political, you know, the weaponization of the political process there, too. So, you know, like you've said, you know, when are the Republican prosecutors? I don't care if you're like a little county prosecutor somewhere. Right. Just go ahead and file it. Matt Vespa in Town Hall had a column and he was being hopeful, more hopeful than I am. He said, I anticipate sooner rather than later, you're going to start seeing that. And then once one does, they all will. But it's like the Democrats don't even worry if it's a case or not, right? They come up with what they want to accomplish first, and then they manufacture a fake crime to go around it. I don't know. Are you hopeful that any Republican prosecutors will ever step up on this?
No. I mean, ask George Brockler. I mean, would he bring in one? No. Would his successor bring one? No. They say, that's awful. We can't abuse the system, not realizing that you can't allow one side to abuse it and the other side just hope someday that it's reversed. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just the French surrender monkey Republicans. That's what they are.
Well, and I think, and Trump is absolutely right. He said on Twitter, when Tucker Carlson said, well, do you think they'll try to rig the election again? He's like, of course they will. They already are. And I think he's right about this. He said, any of these Republicans who are rolling over and playing dead and saying, oh, we can't abuse the system, don't realize that the system is going to be the abusive system is going to turn on them too. Like he said, if I don't get the nomination and someone else does, they're going to do the same thing to him. And you know, I do worry that by the time Republicans kind of wake up and say, oh, it's not just Donald Trump they're after, it's anyone who is not them, right? That it'll be too late.
Well, no, I mean, you know, if George Bush, the 22nd runs or something, oh, that's okay. No problem.
Well, yeah, the equivalent of another Democrat. So, hey, but on a brighter side, so we'll see what happens. But let me, just a final question. So you're saying probably there's not much that Trump and his attorneys are going to be able to do about this March 4th trial.
No.
Well, and I think, I mean, to me, and the thing is, all the people who say, well, then it'll be up to the jury. It's like, no, this is set up from the beginning, right? It's like
there's an incredibly biased jury. You have a judge who will get rid of every defense you possibly have. There is a federal prosecutor in Oregon where the defense attorney said, you want to give your final comments? Said no, because you've destroyed everything that I can argue. So I'm just turning my back and I'll stand here.
Right.
That's how bad trials have gotten. I mean, it really is. Judges have learned, hey, I can rig this thing.
Right. Exactly. Well, but so we'll be keeping an eye on that, obviously.
That's positive.
So I want to play. So I want to be this when I grow up. I want to be an anti-capitalist climate protester. It's like, what I mean, that kind of is all encompassing, right?
Yes,
You're an anti-capitalist climate protester. I would call them anti-capitalist climate crazies. So I don't understand this either, but there is this big festival every year. I know about it because I like to look at the celebrity outfits. I'm called Burning Man in the Nevada desert.
It's more nudity than outfits.
Well, if some of them post outfits, like in People magazine and stuff. I don't know why anyone would go to this stuff. It looks like an enormous, hot, dirty, dusty. But I think if you're a multi-bazillionaire celebrity, you probably don't have to deal with that.
Why don't you play hippie?
Right, exactly. Yeah, these people are anything but hippies, right? When you carry your Prada bag, you know, the Burning Man and you're wearing Gucci, that's not real. I think that violates some of the core principles. But at any rate, so there's this big festival, huge, thousands and thousands of people go in Nevada, in the middle of the desert. It's called the Burning Man Festival. So earlier, I think it was today, maybe yesterday, because it goes this week through the weekend, some anti-capitalist climate crazies were blocking the road. Apparently, there's like one road in to the Burning Man Festival. And this is on tribal land. And it was a massive backlog and traffic jam. And things were starting to get ugly because people were trying. I mean, it is in the middle of the desert after all. It's hot, right? And they had blocked the road and chained themselves to tables. And so somebody called the cops, and then rangers from the tribal police department in Nevada came in. And you saw it. They warned him, right? They didn't just do this. They warned him, right? What was going to happen?
Yeah. You can hear him warning him. They didn't give him a lot of time, but why should they? They just said, you got 30 seconds, move it.
Move it. And then they didn't move it. And then, well, we'll show you what happens. If we could please play the Rangers video. This is what happened to the anti-capitalist climate crazies.
You missed the best part where the one little whiny one says, we're climate activists.
Yeah. I mean, talking about little whiny snowflakes, but we're climate activists. We're going to block this road, put all kinds of people.
The girl in the straw hat is recording everything. I'm not part of this. Yeah, you are. Bam.
Well, yeah. I know as a reporter, sometimes that happens and they sort it out later, right? Because they got to protect the scene. But it's like good for them, right? And we've been seeing videos from around the world, really, because they do this, I think, more in Europe, right? Where they got out there and they block the road. And then people get out of their cars and they drag them away because they're trying to go to work. Right. It's like, and apparently what they want, this is fun. What they want is they want the Burning Man to ban the Burning Man leadership, which I think means promoter, basically. I don't think there was a Burning Man leadership, but they want them to ban private jets because all of the celebrities fly in the private jets. They want them to ban private jets, single-use plastics, and unnecessary propane burning during the festival. Those are their demands. So it's like, give me a break. So good for that guy who's like, y'all don't move. We're going to plow through your stupid barricade. And they're like, what? What? We're nonviolent. I think that's great. You know, let's see. Sandra says, I saw that it was great. A great job from the police. Best video ever about effing time these criminals start paying for their criminal actions. And then Jim Jackson, hooray, the Indians rent the site to the group money. Good for that. That's true. You know, and Leo, how do the climate protesters get there? That's a very good question, Leo. Not in gas cars, you know, protesters last stand. You know, and you've seen them, are these people, I mean, they're just deranged, right? They go into museums and they slash paintings and stuff all in anti-capitalist.
They're still privileged and entitled.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. But Leo, you know, that's a really good question. How did the climate protesters, and I mean, it looked to me like they had a flatbed truck that was kind of in the way there too, right? So some of that did not look like an electric flatbed truck, I don't think. And I don't think they have a lot of charging stations at Burning Man.
Well,
they might.
You see them up and down that road. You know,
exactly. Exactly. Was a protester's last name Custer? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, from Dr. Donna, they've got there on camels. So anyway, that's something to give you hope, right?
You can play that as you go to bed and stuff.
And see, and here's the thing, you know, if that had happened not on tribal land, because you got to be careful being politically correct, those cops would have already been fired by now, right?
Right.
And instead, you know, because I don't know, what's the Biden administration
going to do? Enjoy tribal jails. They're very nice. They'll have a good time.
Yeah. exactly. Well, now, and in the last few minutes here, you want to talk about, this is another thing that's this is just sort of culturally interesting, I think. The whole blind side,
turn rotten.
Yeah, backstory. So I'll let you explain it. You've been doing all the research.
The Blind Side is the story about how left side guards became prominent in the NFL.
Football,
because that's the quarterback's blind side if he's right-handed. And this kid in Memphis was wandering the streets and he was a talented. So this nice couple, had a conservatorship with him and helped him go to the University of Mississippi.
They were rich, right? And they sort of took him under their wing.
Then the guy eventually got, I think, $36 million in contracts, what he's apparently blown through. So apparently somebody said, we can get you some money. So they threatened the Tuie. They said, we'll give lots of negative publicity to you. You've been these white kind of saviors, and we're going to stop that, and we can let you give us $15 million. And the Tuie said, no. We're not giving you $15 million because it'll be, you know, they have the money. They have $200 million from fast food franchises they sold. So they filed a case in state court in Tennessee demanding the conservatorship be ended. And the Tuie said, fine. I mean, we don't care. You know, they put some of the money from the film in there because we all didn't get very much. But, you know, if you ever burn through everything else, at least you'd have this. You know, it shows, I think, you know, it's just Owen said, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, you can't have a nice interracial story where people help each other out. You have to have something ugly and awful. And I don't think the Tuies look great in this because you can't. And Michael Orr, if he ever looked like an ingrate, that was it. I mean, he did make $36 million. And he said, they made millions from the film and I didn't get any of it. And the producer goes, no, they didn't make millions. We gave $750,000 to the Tuies and Michael Orr all together. We had to pay for the rights to the book. We had to, you know, but right. No, so nobody got millions. And the Tuies didn't steal your millions because there's only 750 and you got a proportionate share of that. I mean, maybe you could argue, oh, I should have gotten, instead of 25% of the 750, I should have got 50%. He has books out of his own, and I doubt if he gave the Tuies any money from the books.
Well, yeah, so here's some guy. So he's Michael Orr is his name. He's a kid. He's a football player. And everybody, the movie, it was, made well, not famous. I think it already was famous.
Well, but made $310 million. So people
it was a movie with Sandra Bullock. And so, and this was a long time ago, right? So they sort of bring him in. And I think the movie probably exaggerates the kind role that they played. But at any rate, he goes on to have an enormously successful NFL career. Like you said, made at least $36 million. All of this happened years and years ago. And suddenly out of the blue now, he's coming forward saying, they were never as nice to me as everybody said they were. In fact, they were kind of mean.
They didn't ever adopt me. That's a lie. And then his own book that came out in 2011 said no, I had a conservatorship. So now all of a sudden he's going, whoa, you know.
And apparently he just, and so they, I think he, once again, it's his cancel culture, right? He thinks, well, he can shame them because they're a white couple, right? And he's black. And so he can shame them into giving him $15 million. And when they said, not unreasonably, no, because like $15 million is a lot of money.
And, well, for me, you know.
Well, even for a lot of people. And as you said, that wouldn't be the first payment, right? And it, and he doesn't really have anything mean to say. I mean, nothing. Right. They didn't do anything bad to him, right? It's just, you know. And
I mean, the basic allegations, they stole all the money from him when, in fact, they themselves are incredibly rich.
And then he's incredibly rich too. So
well,
he was
incredibly rich.
Well, yeah, and he's gone
apparently
through.
He's blown through most of that.
One of the most ridiculous things I think about that is there has been a demand for Sandra Bullock, who played the woman.
I agree with that one. Sandra Bullock,
give her Academy Award back. I'm like, why on earth should she have to give her Academy Award back? You know,
reparations. It's reparations.
Yeah, that's reparations. That was his name, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Burn through $15 million. That's one night for Chuck at the ballet. There you go. from Jacob, this is apropos of nothing but interesting. I didn't know. I just found out that Joy Reid from MSNBC is from the Montbello section of Denver, Colorado. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I did not know that. I don't think she's been
there. Eternal shame to Denver, but.
Right. But you know, the one thing about, though, that whole story is, it is just like, you know, what's wrong with people? It's sort of like no good deed goes unpunished, right?
Right.
The couple, from all accounts, except for particularly his up until the time he decided he needed more money, was at the very least kind to him and helpful.
Right. The movie who they didn't write, they didn't, you know, script. They make him look a little bit like a dummy, and I'm sure he didn't need Sandra Bullock to teach him how to block. I mean, that was ridiculous, and his little son didn't teach him how to schemes and stuff. But that isn't the Tui's fault. They didn't. That was Hollywoodization of the thing. So he had a decent gripe there, and now you just see him as an ingrate.
Well, and like you said, it kind of just goes to this whole reparations concept, right? That somehow or another, like they're doing in California, somehow or another, somewhere back in history, something bad happened. And because somebody is, you know, a certain race or ethnic background, they're now entitled to something from people today. It's kind of like, and I mean, and it's just a weird way of thinking, right? There's no, you want to say, where's the, I don't know, gratitude maybe, or at the very least, you know, just sort of like, well, you know, I did get rich off of this. I don't need any money. I can make it on my own. It's like, no. And then again, and then the implied threat, right? We're going to make you look bad, which they have, right? Yeah. If you don't give me the money, you know, it's just it's sort of, you know, again, it's sort of the attitude of those, the anti-capitalist climate crazies, right? You go there, you do something, and then you're kind of like surprised at the outcome, right? And that people are actually holding you accountable. So, so what's going to happen? Is there going to actually be a trial then with this?
No, because all they're asking for is the end of the conservatorship. And the TUI said, great, anytime you want it ended, we don't object at all. I think what they were doing is, you know, they were kind of saving him $250,000 or whatever it was, so that if everything's got really bad, you know, if he went bankrupt or something else, he'd always...
Or went through his $36 million as an NFL player.
Yeah. So they said, you want the end of the conservatorship? Fine. Great, no problem.
Well, I think it kind of backfired on him too, because I think it. I mean, you know, the story is—I don't want to say fizzling yet, because it's kind of ongoing.
Well,
and again,
fizzling because producer came out and said, "No, no one made millions other than us,"
and we're not giving any money back.
And we're not giving any money back. But no, the TUIs and Michael Orr were not awarded millions of dollars in residuals and everything else.
And so he can only go, oh, never mind. So, well, We will, I think that kind of wraps it up for us today. Chuck has, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about this on Wednesday, a lot of stuff going on. Republican Party has a meeting, that the leadership of the Republican Party today. Lots of things going on there. And we're going to start kind of talking a little bit more, too, once again, about the opt-out, because the opposition, all the rhinos are gearing up in opposition to that, too. So, Chuck, you've got that big meeting tonight. And so we'll let people know as much as we can about, well, what, if anything, happens from that. And that's going to do it for us. Chuck, anything else you wanted to wrap up with?
No, just watch the full Indian Ranger tape, because it's good from beginning to end.
That is, yes, you can find it, the Ranger tape. Yeah, because you see these climate people that whiny. It's, the whole thing is kind of funny. And you know, we all know Burning Man celebrities who flew in there on their private jets do not want to be backed up in the desert while a bunch of crazy climate people are there. So, hey, everybody, thank you to Colonel John Mills. Thank you to everyone on Zoom, the great guys at BBS. All of our shows, as always, at chuckandjulie.com.
And we'll see you Wednesday. So take care.